The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way, something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back to the Did You Know Show, and this segment starts with this startling statement. I believe our president, for lack of a different description, is now part of the entitlement generation that has developed in this country and has earned the nickname of the entitlement president. Did you know that in our historical record, we have had presidents that were given, so to speak, nicknames that personified their presidency? For my generation, I will never forget the Teflon president, the nickname given to Ronald Reagan for his uncanny ability to not have certain issues that would normally stick to a president just not attach to him or affect his presidential popularity. But this giving of nicknames to presidents is not a new activity by the media, the press, or the populace. We call George Washington our first president, the father of our country. In Thomas Jefferson, we have the apostle of democracy, and with James Madison, the father of the Constitution. But did you know that other presidents also had nicknames attached to them? How about Old Hickory for Andrew Jackson? I'm sure both you and I wonder, why Old Hickory? This from the National Park Service website regarding Andrew Jackson. I quote, "He gave up his horses for the sick and walked alongside of his men, encouraging them when needed and disciplining them when necessary. His determination, combined with his willingness to suffer alongside his men, caused his men to come up with the nickname Old Hickory." And after Old Hickory, there was James Polk, who was called Young Hickory, just because he was a protege of the Old Hickory, Andrew Jackson. Then, of course, we have the Great Emancipator, as describing Abraham Lincoln and his Emancipation Proclamation relating to slavery. In that same era, there was Unconditional Surrender Grant for Ulysses S. Grant in his actions during the Civil War. How about Theodore Roosevelt, the Trust Buster or Hero of San Juan Hill? And, of course, we should all remember the schoolmaster, Woodrow Wilson. Between the two world wars, we had Cool Cal for Calvin Coolidge. Now, this little tidbit from Reason.com, I quote, "He is America's most underappreciated president, a tax-cutting, budget-slashing politician whose very name became synonymous with the fast-growing 1920s economy. Coolidge prosperity, they called it. Coolidge stood defiantly as an anti-progressive between two activist eras, the first led by Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson, and the second by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That's the real reason so many modern academics dislike him. Coolidge didn't participate in the onward march of an ever-growing and encroaching government. In fact, he actively resisted it. Here's a quote from Cool Cal in one of his speeches. "The people cannot look to legislation, generally for success. Industry, thrift, character are not conferred by act of resolve. Government cannot relieve from toil." Bringing us closer to our area, the nicknaming changed a bit. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was nicknamed FDR, Dwight David Eisenhower was called Ike, and John F. Kennedy, of course, was JFK. And that brings us to Tricky Dick for Richard Milhouse Nixon. Then we have the peanut farmer for Jimmy Carter. How about Bubba for Bill Clinton, and just plain W for George W. Bush? Now, in this listing of nicknames for presidents, they did have a nickname for Barack H. Obama. It was No Drama Obama. But I believe that can't possibly be the moniker that will remain with Obama, especially after all the incidences and scandals that have surrounded him and his administration. Heck, one might have to call him the drama president. In reality, we have had seen nothing but drama during his presidential administration. But I still believe, in the end, Barack Obama will be referred to as the entitlement president. Yes, I veered off a bit, but those that have listened to my podcasts have advised they enjoy a bit of this history nostalgia within the confines of my podcasts. And now back to our entitlement president, Barack Hussein Obama, of course, a.k.a. Barry Sotero. So you ask, why would I call this president the entitlement president? Well, recall this saying of old, actions speak louder than words. And this president's actions speak volumes as to what he has done that would render past presidents in deep constitutional waters, so to speak. His actions have led me to rest the mantle of the entitlement president at the feet of this 44th president of the United States. The president has embarked on a journey of entitlement by disregarding laws and responsibilities as president. This president feels he is entitled to bypass Congress, disregarding the rule of law of this great country. And it will not be my assertion as to these illegal actions, but the profound judgment of the Supreme Court that has led me to this attachment of the moniker of the entitlement president. The Supreme Court, our final authority on constitutionality, has in these last several years brought down decisions that have overruled numerous Obama actions and found them to be in violation of the Constitution of the United States. In Noel Canning versus NLRB, or the National Labor Relations Board, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that the recess appointments made by Barack Hussein Obama were unconstitutional, that those appointments were made under the recess provision for temporary appointments when Congress is not in session, but were in fact appointments made when Congress was not in recess, and that these appointments needed congressional approval as mandated by the Constitution, thereby rendering the appointments null and void. In another case, United States versus Jones, the Supreme Court ruled that attaching a tracking device and using that device without a search warrant violated the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. Further, in Riley versus California and in United States versus Urey, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that after arrest, it was still necessary to obtain a search warrant before searching an arrestee's phone without a warrant, thereby violating the Constitution. I won't bore you with additional case law, but suffice it to say that Barack Hussein Obama and his administration have lost 20 cases brought to the Supreme Court since 2009 by unanimous decisions. And recall that Obama has appointed two female Supreme Court justices since being sworn in. This situation has transpired over the last 6.5 years and been the focus of the Obama administration. Do you not recall the promises made over and over by President Obama, both prior to and after the election? Did we get hope and change? Is the average citizen of this country better off than he was in 2007? Do we have more people employed now than in 2007? Do we have a stable and calm world situation? I dare say not. This president believes he is entitled to say one thing and then do another. The president promised an open and transparent administration, but has this been the case? This president has stalled, stymied, and redacted document after document requested by Congress in its oversight responsibility as pursuant to the Constitution. Just think of Fast and Furious, gun running into Mexico, Benghazi, the killing of 4 Americans, including an ambassador, IRS, targeting conservative groups, a federal employee in charge of an agency taking the 5th and not testifying, so on and so forth. So you must ask why, and the answer readily comes to mind that when a president or his highest level subordinates believe they are entitled to do these actions even though they are contrary to law or procedure, then he, the president, believes he is not required to cooperate with Congress but is entitled to withhold data, then he truly is the entitlement president. This president believes he's entitled to not obey the law, not support the Constitution of the United States, and is entitled to place our country in a lesser position in the world community due to his lessening of the impact and influence of the United States on the world stage. As Commander-in-Chief of the military, the president's primary responsibility is to protect these United States and our soldiers in harm's way. His actions regarding the exchange of 5 known terrorists for 1 soldier places many soldiers in harm's way. Additionally, his actions relating to the prisoner exchange violated the law. President Obama did not provide notice to Congress as to releasing prisoners from Gitmo as required by law. He felt he was entitled to act unilaterally without congressional consultation. Further, Obama did not comply with law, the War Powers Act, as to our intervention in Libya and Syria. Obama felt he was entitled to act and use force in Libya and Syria without consulting Congress as required under the War Powers Act. Now, the War Powers Act of 1973, effective November the 7th, 1973, was a federal law that was intended to check the president's power to commit the U.S. into armed conflict without the consent of Congress. this act requires the president to notify Congress within 48 hours of committing armed forces to military action and forbids those forces from remaining for more than 60 days without congressional authorization. This resolution, the War Powers Act, was passed by a two-thirds majority of Congress, thereby preventing and disallowing a presidential veto. And lastly, how are we perceived in the world geopolitical stage? When Ronald Reagan said, tear down this wall, what happened? The wall came down and the Cold War ended with the dissolution of the Soviet Union. But when Obama told the world regarding Ukraine and Syria, I quote, there will be consequences if people step over the line, close quote. What do we have after the statement? Ukraine is smaller and possibly heading towards partition. The Syrian leader Assad is back in power. Iraq is in turmoil, and the people of Iraq, Syria, and Ukraine continue to put up violence, bombings, societal unrest, and a general messed up world situation. This president believes he is entitled to say things and then not follow up or put the might, status, and resources of the U.S. to prevent all these horrific acts from happening in the world. Just because he is entitled to say one thing, then do something else. In the area of environment and energy production, his Environmental Protection Agency has promulgated rules and regulations affecting the power production in this country that in the next several years will realize higher energy costs and an inability for this country to have sustainable energy capabilities. By this I mean the closure of coal-burning electric plants that provide the majority of this country's electricity. This country then will face an energy shortage. Now, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the U.S. gets 37% of its electricity from coal, then comes natural gas at 30%, nuclear at 19%, hydropower at 7%, and other petroleum at 1%. Less than 1% from other gases and 5% from other renewable sources such as wind, 3.46%, solar, 0.11%, geothermal, 0.41%, and biomass, 1.42%. Now, if we stop using coal, what do you think will happen? Solar, even nuclear stepping up to the plate, so to speak? No, because the regulatory process is such an encumbrance, there is no way possible to supplement coal in a timely manner. Think of this. Just imagine the U.S. relying totally on either solar or wind, and a hurricane, tornado, or earthquake comes through the wind or solar farm. What type of facility would be able to withstand these forces, not even considering other natural disasters? So you see, we will be a weaker nation in several years when the coal plants are shutting down and we start experiencing brownouts and shortages, just as in the Third World. Recall this Obama quote from January 2008. Under my plan of a cap-and-trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket. Not my words, folks, the president's. So you say, how does this relate to entitlements? Well, the president, via the executive branch entities, has circumvented the constitutional process of law, making with regulatory rules and environmental requirements that were never written into law but were placed there by executive administrators. This president feels he is entitled to write rules and regulations that were never passed as law. And the entitlement president continues. If you watch any national news, you now know that this country is being invaded by illegal aliens, adults and minors, and especially relating to minors who under the Obama administration, the majority of which will never be sent home. In fact, they will become anchor children for even more illegal aliens wanting the benefits of our society. Under his watch, the prosecutorial discretion Morton Memorandum was issued, which basically shut down most prosecution or return of illegal aliens if any one of 19 bullet-pointed criteria were met. The face of America is changing, and this president believes he is entitled to do just that. I bring this discussion to a close with a recent quote from an avowed leftist constitutional professor, Jonathan Turley, who teaches law at George Washington University. He said this regarding presidential constitutional duty and exceeding presidential authority to the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, the 26th of February, 2014. I quote, "The fact that I happen to think the president is right on many of these policies does not alter the fact that I believe the means he is doing it is wrong and that this can be a dangerous change in our system. And our system is changing in a very fundamental way. And it's changing without a whimper of regret or opposition." Close quote. No significant opposition. That is quite a statement, but so true to this issue.
the Congress, the judiciary, and the populace as a whole are nonplussed as to this entitlement relating to the use of regulation in rulemaking, disregard for law, and entitled to lying to us, the populace, in regard to relevant issues of the day in the use of executive authority. And finally, this entitlement president believes he's entitled to complain and criticize our economy regarding women's rights as to pay issues. But his White House has been paying women that do the same job as men at a rate lower than their male counterparts. Is that not the pot calling the kettle black? So I say in summary, who knows what goes on in the mind of Obama? But irrespective of that, the effect of an entitlement president is the changing of the face and culture of America. We are losing our identity as a homogeneous nation. We are becoming an amalgam of identities that, for all intent and purpose, do not seem to have the original American free enterprise spirit of being able to do anything as long as you put your mind to it, along with some hard work, without the subsidy from the government. We are losing our freedoms as provided for in the Constitution of the United States. We are becoming the entitlement generation, just as Barack H. Obama is the entitlement president. I recall the words of JFK as they once rang out at the inaugural morn on January 20th, 1961. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. As an immigrant myself, and one who believes and bought the whole American dream, I now see that country to which I have sworn allegiance many times changing right before my very eyes. As an American, I can do nothing less than do for my country as needed and render a prayer for America to an almighty God who sits in judgment on all of us. Thanks for listening, folks. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.